Three-time Wisconsin Sports Writer of the Year, Jason Wilde.
Our very first guest in the history of Wilde and Tausch, which will be, I'm sure, a long and distinguished history.
Packers Hall of Famer, Mark Tauscher.
Aaron Rodgers, give us an over-under on what number would you set for how many shows we do.
Broadcasting live from the Everlight Solar Studio at ESPN Madison.
I'm going to say daily 52 weeks a year. I'm going to say you do about 230.
And celebrating 10 great years on ESPN Wisconsin.
And then what else?
No, then Tausch kind of bows out.
This is Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin.
The Wednesday edition. Second day in a row, we got the same crew back here in the Everlight Solar Studio at ESPN Madison. Jason Wilde's summer sabbatical portion of the schedule continues. My name is Jesse Nelson. I'm normally the producer of this show. Today I slide over into the host chair. Joined in studio by the Green Bay Packers Hall of Famer Mark Tauscher. Tausch, good morning.
Morning, Jesse.
Daytime Wollersheim. Ryan Wollersheim behind the glass. He's our producer. That makes him the cousin sub of the day. Cousin subs. We believe in better. Good morning, Wooly.
Good morning, Jesse. It's a very nice shirt you have on today.
I like your shirt, too. We all have nice shirts on today. This shirt, for those of you who are watching, okay. 94.5 ESPN Milwaukee, 100.5 ESPN Madison, 1430 ESPN Beaver Dam, ESPN Wisconsin app, and live video streaming where you can check out the shirt. On the ESPN Madison, ESPN Milwaukee YouTube channels, Wilde and Tausch Facebook page, Wilde and Tausch Twitter feed. So, my wife Becca bought me this shirt.
Like, you got a bowl of soup with that shirt. A
couple of weeks ago. I don't know what that means.
What do you mean you don't know what that means?
I don't know what that means.
Well, think about it, and I'm sure you'll piece it together.
Yeah. Didn't Homer kind of accuse you of the same thing last week, Tausch?
No, he thought I looked homeless.
Isn't that what getting a bowl of soup means?
No.
A bowl of soup with that shirt?
No, it means your shirt's free.
Oh.
So it's like...
See, I would have thought you would have said, like, I can't hear you today. Your shirt's too loud. Because that would have gone over decently. Okay. So she got me this
shirt
a couple of weeks ago. And I was like, I think I like it. But it's fun. It's a Packers-themed, like, tailgate shirt.
Do you ever buy your wife stuff?
No.
Well, so you never get her, like, no, but I mean, you never buy her, like, a blouse.
No. Early on in our relationship, she made it very clear, do not buy her clothes. She wants to buy her own clothes. So, like, Christmas gifts, birthday gifts, she is not interested in me buying her clothes because a lot of times she wants to pick it out for herself. She'll take gift cards or she'll say, like, I'll go shopping and I'll pick something out. You can pay for it, but she wants to be the one picking out what she gets.
You know,
gifts.
Gift cards, I don't fully comprehend how gift cards can pull money out of. Like, if somebody buys a $100 gift card, I don't understand how you could look in 6 months and it could be down to $96. It's like, no, I spent $100. You guys are getting free interest on it. Like, it shouldn't be you can pull money out of the gift card or, oh, it's void. No, I spent the money and you're getting free. You can do whatever you want with that money, company X. I can't comprehend the gift card industry, man. I'm not sold on it.
You've mentioned this before.
Yeah, it annoys me.
I've never experienced losing money on a gift card.
Yeah,
before. There's an expiration date on some gift cards.
But why are there expiration dates
on
it?
That I agree with you.
If a company goes out of business, I get it. Like, stuff happens,
yeah.
Things get downturned. But if I spend $100 and I don't use it for 4 years, you just collected 4 years of compound interest on my $100 or $1,000, whatever your gift card is.
It's paid for in advance.
Yes, there is no, we're going to pull back. That's not how this world works.
I agree with you on that front. I don't think this shirt was purchased with a gift card.
You brought up gift cards.
I did bring up gift cards. So Becca bought this for me and I thought, okay, it's a little...
You don't like the gift card convo, huh?
I feel like I owe it to our fans to deliver what I was saying about the shirt before we digress into the gift card.
I thought we owed it to our fans to move on. So I'm glad that we're disagreeing on that.
Never mind.
Tell me more about this shirt.
Never
so
mind.
You got it at Goodwill.
No. You can just check out the Packers
shirt. Stop pouting. So finish the shirt.
I was
story.
Nervous to bring this one out of the closet because I was like, I don't know how this is going to go over.
Why do you think Becca got you that? Does she want you to be more adventurous? Is that why? Because that is an adventurous shirt.
It's a fun Packers shirt. It's also a polo, so you can wear it professionally in different settings. You can wear it
you
to
can't
work.
Wear that professionally.
Though. I'm doing it right now.
But you shouldn't.
You would wear that to a business meeting?
You would not.
Well, depends on the
if
business.
You're doing WEAC Wednesdays, you're not
no,
doing
No, I
it.
Would not wear it to a call a game in this shirt, but I would wear
what
it to...
What if it was Platteville?
I'll give you an
what
example.
What if that was a Platteville
no.
shirt with orange and
well,
blue?
Well, yeah, if it's like custom to the school
but
you're
you
doing,
couldn't
sure.
wear it on WEAC Wednesday because then you're
this
showing
is a,
favoritism.
It's a Packers polo that has a bunch of like tailgate designs on it that looks like confetti. It's very loud. Green and gold and white. So, I
really
wore
they
this.
Like green and gold.
Yes, thanks. Mark Murphy. I wore this for the first time last week in any public setting at a golf outing. The Madison School and Community Recreation golf outing that I was in. So I wore like a different polo for golf. It was 100 degrees and super humid. So after we were done with golf, I changed into this one for the like reception afterwards. And our teammate Chad was like, that's a really nice polo. That looks yeah. great on you. That's fun. And then I had a couple
Chad
other people.
Chad would never wear that shirt.
No, he wouldn't, but that's okay. Chad's not me. A couple other people said, I really like that post. So I got a lot of good positive feedback. I like
that. So you're going to keep
walking in here this morning. Ashton, our content manager, said something about it. Ryan said something about it
Ashton's
right away.
Ashton's tough.
Everybody has something to say about the polo. So it's I guess it's a conversation
you're
starter.
I am a firm believer that shirts should be conversation starters.
Agreed.
Because that's why when people go to Acadia National Park, they're going to say, oh, I have to buy this shirt. My brother, every park we go to, he's got to get a shirt. He's got to get something. And it is, I'm convinced, the best, if you want to have conversations with strangers, wear a shirt that you ran a marathon or that you did a decathlon or something. Oh, my gosh. Oh, did you do that? And the next thing you know, you're in a 20-minute conversation about Acadia National Park. And then I can get into my blueberry story. Like, shirts are meant to be conversation starters. I'm not sure. Like, for me, that's not a conversation starter shirt.
So it's a Packers shirt. It's a fun Packers shirt. Oh, nice shirt. If I go to Vegas for a bachelor party coming up in September, which it sounds like is going to be in the works for me, which we'll have plenty of time to discuss at
a
different
two?
Time. No, tier one, John. Tier one, John.
Is he the one that had a bunch of, there's a lot of stuff going on?
No, that's a different guy.
That's a different guy.
If we go to Vegas and we go to like the blackjack table, I could wear this shirt to the blackjack table. And then you got, oh, yeah, you're a Packers fan. Where are you from? It's a conversation starter. And because
where are you from? Chicago. Yeah.
No, we got to get the Chippewa Falls.
It is 100% a great conversation starter. And then you're going to get into the Packer talk. You could get into Jordan Love and all the other stuff that we'll eventually talk about on this show. But there's no doubt that shirt will start a conversation.
You just told me it wouldn't start a conversation. So thank you for coming around on that.
I said with me.
Oh, yeah, we have plenty of other things to talk about. I don't care about talking about the shirt with you anymore. I'm ready to move on. I think we owe it to our fans.
Okay.
844-770-3776. That's your way to the show on the Carbless ESPN Wisconsin Talk and Text Line. A lot of Packers conversation coming up on today's show. Rob Domofsky with an interesting article. One of his annual traditions. Not a bold prediction, but better, worse, or the same.
I like
reviewing
this concept.
Reviewing the position groups of the Packers roster. Yesterday's article, it was published late last night, reviewing the offense position by position. We're going to do that. Brian Bulaga's coming up at 9:35. We've moved Homer to tomorrow. We had a conflict today. So a lot of time to talk Green Bay Packers football with you, which we didn't do a lot of, in all honesty, outside of Devontae Wyatt yesterday. Jim, Matt, and Molly spent a lot of time talking about walk-off home runs on Monday's show when they filled in for us. So a lot to get into with the Green Bay Packers. 1 week until kickoff of training camp.
I can't believe how much Rutledge. I mean, he is taking heat.
Yeah.
Well, you can tell Rutledge that.
It's a nominee for take of the decade from ESPN Wisconsin.
Your Murph getting fired in Murph is probably still tops.
That is also in the running.
No, it's tops.
This has a chance to pass it by the time it's all said and done.
No, you firing the two-time manager of the year and probably the most beloved manager in the state.
At least
tops.
When I said that, they were in fourth place and struggling in every facet. Rutledge, filling in on this show on Monday, said walk-off home runs aren't exciting. when he was at a Brewers game with one of the most iconic walk-off home runs of recent memory for the team, with William Contreras launching it and flying a bat into the air that still hasn't landed.
Yeah, that makes it worse.
Let's talk Packers. I want to get into this right away here. So Rob Domofsky's article, Better, Worse, or the Same, reviewing the position groups of the Green Bay Packers offense. I took a look at this article. You sent it over to me last night when it caught your eye. Before we dive into what Rob says about each position, I want to start with quarterback and receiver first, and then we'll get into some of the other groups. What stood out most to you, Tausch, when you saw this piece from Rob Domofsky?
No, it wasn't even really. I mean, obviously, Rob, great conversation piece, just like your shirt, to start a topic.
Thank you.
I think it's more, I've asked this question a bunch of the Brewers, and I asked, you know, whether or not you feel better about our postseason chances than you did last year. And in Green Bay's case, I think you, I'm always curious, like, before the season starts, do you feel like you're in a better spot than you were last year at this time? And I am going to be curious as we go through each spot, or if we're going to do offense today and defense tomorrow. I don't know how you have it structured. I think there's going to be a lot of debate and a lot of differing of opinions on whether or not you feel like this team is in a better spot, mainly because you have a lot of guys that, not that it's uncertain, but you don't know how hurt they are or when they're going to be back, and you know how productive they'll be when they get back. Will Tucker Kraft be as productive as he was prior to blowing his knee out? I certainly hope so, but I've seen where Adrian Peterson was actually more productive. Then I've also seen a lot of guys where it takes 6 to 8 more months to really get moving. And so that position, the receiver position, has been totally, not totally overhauled, but it has been completely revamped and structured in a way that you're going to have defined roles, which for 3 years we said we don't care if we have defined roles. So the whole concept of will we be better, there's a few spots that I am certain that we're going to be better. And then there's a lot of spots that I have to really think through whether or not we will be better. So that's why I thought Rob's piece was very interesting.
So I want to start with quarterback, because that's generally the same. Jordan Love is returning. But, of course, Rob's not looking just at the starting line when he's reviewing these positions. He's looking at the entire depth. Quarterback is the only position group on the offense that Rob says got worse from 2025 to 2026. And, of course, the main reason is nothing to do with Jordan Love. It has to do with the loss of arguably the best backup quarterback in the league, Malik Willis, going to the Miami Dolphins, and a proven veteran backup, Tyrod Taylor, coming in to be the backup to Jordan Love, which we've talked with a bunch of different quarterbacks over this offseason, Matt Hasselbeck included, about the value that Tyrod Taylor could bring in mentoring Jordan Love. But literally the player is not as good as Malik Willis, according to Rob Domofsky. So he says they got worse at quarterback. That's the only position group on the offense that Rob says the Packers got worse from last year to this year. Do you agree?
I don't think we got worse at quarterback. I think you're looking at the starting quarterback. Jordan Love is going to need to be better. Tyrod Taylor is a proven veteran. Malik Willis was great in the role that we asked him to be. And it is a loss, there is no doubt. But the moment that they went and decided we're going to get a veteran that's going to probably push Jordan in a way that he hasn't been pushed, not as far as taking his starting spot, but on all of the little details and all of the things that a 37-year-old, I believe he is, that has seen everything, can help and, you know, really maybe have Jordan evaluate some of the way he prepares and how he goes about his business. This is going to be an upgrade in line with Jordan. So I have a hard time. I'll go through. I do not think we got better at running back. Tell me how we've gotten better at running back.
Well, Rob will tell you when we get to that coming up here as we review Rob's better, worse, or the same rankings, reviewing the Packers' offense position by position. We'll do that throughout the show. Of course, we're going to get into the offensive line when Brian Bulaga joins us coming up in about 20 minutes. Before any of that, though, Tausch, is going to tell us about Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin.
Shopping for new windows and doors, it should not include haggling. Pella sticks to straightforward pricing, honest conversations, and helping homeowners find the right fit for their home, and they don't use all of the high-pressure sales tactics that others do. When you buy direct through Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin, the same team that manufactures your windows and doors, they also sell them, install them, and they service them. Real pricing, premium quality, no game. Schedule your free in-home consultation today at PellaWI.com.
Better, worse, or the same on the Packers offense. We'll review what Rob Domofsky says, analyzing each position group. Coming up next, it's Wilde and Tausch.
This is Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Call today, 855-PELLA-WI, and online at PellaWI.com/radio.
Wilde and Tausch, Jesse and Tausch today. Jason's summer sabbatical continues. Brian Bulaga, scheduled to appear for his weekly appearance coming up next. We are reviewing Rob Domofsky's article at ESPN.com, reviewing the Packers offense position by position. Rob's assertions on whether the Packers are better, worse, or the same at each position group from 2025. Now, 1 week out from training camp.
What's
starting
the one spot,
in
before we even look at Domofsky's, that you're thinking, man, we got a lot better?
So in a weird way, addition by subtraction, I think wide receiver got better. And Rob does agree. He says the receiver room is better than it was last year. I think and you guys have talked plenty about this over the entire offseason as the moves took place with Dontavian Wicks being traded and Romeo Doubs going to New England. Like, the addition by subtraction in just establishing the clear roles and who the Packers want to commit to in that receiver room. It is less depth, but it is more dependence on your playmakers. And if you believe that Matthew...
Leaning more on a second-year player.
Yeah, but a doggone good one who was a first-round pick and the first-round receiver pick since 2002.
We think and we hope.
I liked what I saw in Chicago in that playoff game.
Will Matthew Golden give you more than Romeo Doubs?
Yes. It may not be as consistent as Romeo
Doubs.
That's
not what I asked. I'm strictly going analytics.
I think Matthew...
Will his numbers be better than what Romeo Doubs put up last year?
I think what we saw in the playoff game in Chicago shows that Matthew Golden can take over a game and be an explosive playmaker.
Not what I asked.
The numbers may be about the same as Romeo Doubs in the end.
If the numbers are the same, we're pretty happy.
Yeah.
And Wooly, I don't know if you could pull up Doubs' numbers. I'll be curious what that looks like. But I agree in the fact that I want Christian Watson to be the number one. He is our number one. Jaden Reed is going to be 2-3. I think the goal would be Savion Williams could be a jet sweep guy, and he can be kind of a fourth wide out. And if there's an injury, he could jump in. But this, if you're going to answer that question definitively, yes, you're taking Romeo Doubs and Dontavian Wicks out of that equation. Matthew Golden has to have better numbers than Romeo Doubs in order for this to make sense. Now, Jaden Reed was hurt. There's some issues with how I think he signed a new deal. He is going to be, I would bet that he will have more catches than Matthew Golden. More catches.
I would hope that he does.
Why?
Because his role in the offense, I think, would be to be that dependable guy.
He's not a high snap count guy.
Well, because he's been hurt a bunch.
No, like if Jaden Reed's, before he was hurt. I don't think he was a high snap count guy.
I think Jaden Reed was the biggest victim. I mean, we could do an entire show on Jaden Reed.
You got Doubs' numbers?
I do have
along with Jaden Reed's numbers, if you could.
I think Jaden Reed was a victim of...
I'm demanding.
Yes, you are.
I'm starting to get that.
I think Jaden Reed was a victim of the crowded receiver room, and his role was in flux from game to game. And now with Wicks out, with Doubs out, Reed will become a more premier focal point of the Packers offense, and that will benefit Jordan Love. It will benefit the running game, and Matt LaFleur will be able to demonstrate his strategic creativity using him more.
Last year, Romeo Doubs, 55 catches, career high 724 yards, 6 touchdowns. And then Jaden Reed last year, only in 7 games with 3 starts, had 19 catches for 207 yards, 1 cutter.
But he was hurt a bunch.
Yeah, it's tough to, and Jaden Reed, obviously, his first couple years led the team in catches. If my math was correct, and you can correct me.
Super dependable.
793 yards his rookie season, 857 his sophomore season.
Okay, so Romeo Doubs had 55 catches for 7 and some change. Okay. Matthew Golden, will he have more than that? 17-game season. He's going to be the number two wideout unless something happens. He's going to be that guy. Is he going to have more catches, more yards, more productivity than Romeo Doubs?
Give me the yards, catches, and touchdowns one more
time. I just gave it to you. 55, 700 and change.
724 yards and six touchdowns. 55 mm-hmm. catches.
I think he'll have more than six touchdowns, but I think he'll have fewer yards. I think Matthew Golden will be used in specific games as a premier, like, breakout player. And there's going to be glimpses in games against, like, I don't know who it's going to be against, the Bears or the Cowboys or the Vikings, whoever it might be. There will be games that he takes over as the premier option, and then Watson will have a big game the next week. And it'll drive fantasy football players crazy because they'll be like, why isn't Matthew Golden getting more? And then they'll put him on the bench, and then he'll have a 3-touchdown game against the Lions. And like, that's the kind of year that he's going to have. It's going to be game to game, playing the matchups position by position. Like, that's how I think this is going to go this year. That's what I see for Matthew Golden, which is why I think looking at the season-long stats, it's going to be a little incorrect in how you view like him compared to Doubs consistently, but the individual games that Golden can take over, like he did against the Bears in the playoffs, that's where he's going to be most valuable.
For what Green Bay did in trading Wicks and letting Doubs walk, which, by the way, I am 100% in agreement on both moves, Matthew Golden needs to be more productive than Romeo Doubs. If that is not going to be the case, this offense is going to stay pretty flat with where they're at. Now, I know you could argue, well, Tucker Kraft and Christian Watson. Christian Watson is going to provide coverages that Matthew Golden should lunch on. And if that happens, Matthew Golden's going to pop. I think you don't take a guy first, and the first time since 02, drafting a wideout, if you don't anticipate big things. And there is no doubt that that Bears playoff game, we saw some things that yards after catch, and everybody's excited about it. We're hearing all positive stuff. And it doesn't have to be that way. You don't have, you know, coaches and personnel folks don't have to, you know, glaze the way that they've glazed Matthew Golden this offseason. So he is going to have all of the opportunities. He's not going to draw number one corners. He's not going to draw the coverage to him. There's too many other options. So Matthew Golden needs to be more productive than the Romeo Doubs that we saw last year in Green Bay. And if that is the case, I don't care how you can analytically put it together however you want. 55 for 706 touchdowns is a nice 2-3 hybrid. I want Matthew Golden more on the 1-2 line. I want us to be talking about in Thanksgiving time and Christmas time, who is the number one? Is it Watson or is it Golden? And if we're having those conversations, the G&G will be rolling.
I agree. I think that conversation takes place after the season going into 27.
Oh, I mean, I
hope I'm wrong. I hope you're right.
No, I'm saying if Matthew Golden, and again, you put a lot on a guy. It's only his second year, and he, you know, last year did not go as well as he hoped. I'm sure the Packers, you know, you anticipate there's going to be some growing pains. I would anticipate him making that big jump. And again, consistency is the hard part. That's becoming a pro. That's what we're looking for from Matthew Golden. And that's why I'm encouraged because of all of the things that you've heard him say. He wasn't prepared for some of the things. He wasn't ready to handle everything that being a professional football player was. That's okay to admit. It's a heck of a lot better than faking it and acting like you got all the answers. He didn't. And that's part of growing up in the NFL. So Matthew Golden is ready to be a absolute rocket ship. And that doesn't mean it's always going to be smooth. There's going to be weather. There's going to be stuff that pops up that you can't go. But for this offense to really elevate itself and be a championship contender, Matthew Golden's going to have to be a critical piece in that evolution.
You sat in that chair yesterday when we were talking about the Devontae Wyatt contract extension, and you were praising how the Packers are looking at, they believe that they have a core group of players
Here. All I was saying was I observed and said, this is what they're doing. Whether or not they're going to be right, you can put, and again, I'm not going to go back to the slot machine thing, but they are investing. And when you invest, you expect an ROI. And the only ROI that matters up in Titletown is a championship. It isn't about winning. Now, I have been standing on, I'm not standing on this, but I think it's sturdy enough, that they need to win a division. That's what, and that will allow them to get the better opportunities to be successful in the postseason. Not having to be a seventh seed going on the road and scrapping to get in a playoff, and then you need to position yourself better and winning some of those close games. I don't know if this core is the right core. I think it is. I'm not going to sit here and say there is no doubt. I know Micah Parsons is Micah Parsons, and I know Tucker Kraft. Those are my two when they're healthy. I'll bet what you want that they're a top three at their position. I feel great about that. As far as all of the other guys go, there's pieces that you have to piece together. I am a big fan of Christian Watson, especially at the contract that the Packers got. What the Packers have said is, we're going to compete, we're going to do this. What they have told you with how they've approached signing guys is, we are good enough. We need this group to continue to grow together. Our core is strong. We need to keep them healthy. And if that is the case, we can win a Super Bowl. That's what this last 3 months have told you about how the Green Bay Packers are operating.
And I'm taking that same mindset and applying it to the wide receiver room. And I'm saying the franchise leadership is saying these are the three that are going to be capable of leading this team to winning a Super Bowl. I am trusting to believe in that. And I think I've seen with my own eyes as a fan watching it, whether it's at the stadium or on television, Jaden Reed, Christian Watson, Matthew Golden have all showed glimpses of greatness at different times. Some more than others, but they all have shown those glimpses of greatness. I believe those three can be good enough to lead the Packers offense to a Super Bowl title.
It is a risk, but it was a risk that the Green Bay Packers had to take. You can't just sit there and play penny slots and expect to make hundreds of thousands of dollars. You have to put money in. You have to play the five reel to get the grand jackpot. The grand jackpot's a championship. And the Packers have said, these are our horses. These are our buffalo. There's a lone wolf game that we played, blowing down the pigs and the houses and all that. I don't like that game. But you're putting your money in the slots. You're investing in these players. It's risky because you don't have any fallback plans. These are your guys. And Packer fans are going to sit here, and the skeptics will say, well, Christian Watson can't stay healthy. What are you going to do when he gets hurt? And by the way, Christian Watson, I know you don't believe this because you've said many times, oh, he's just a guy. He's not. He changes the way defenses play us. He gives Tucker Kraft more room underneath. He lets Matthew Golden work some of the underneath stuff. And then, by the way, Matthew Golden, he ain't slow. He can fly. That's where you're investing and you're hoping that your moves are going to pay off in a big way.
I feel my position on Christian Watson is being slightly manipulated here, but we won't dive into that.
Did you not say that?
No, what I've said about Christian...
You said he's a guy, Jesse. I've heard it once. I've heard it 100 times.
What I've said about Christian Watson is I think he is capable of being a number one receiver, but you can't count on him to be healthy for more than half of a season.
You also said he's a guy.
You can't count on him. He's not dependable.
Will they find that tape? He said he's a guy. I heard him.
Do they have slot machines when you did the show at Annex Wealth Management?
They don't. You're looking to plan and have a plan in place, especially when there's big life events that pop up, which they do for all of us. Sale of a company, death, divorce, health crisis, paying for college, a wedding, all of those big life events, Annex Wealth Management has assisted clients with those. And the biggest thing, you make sure you plan for them. That will make all the difference. Knowing what you own, why you own it, and how much you're paying for it, that is a big part of smart financial planning. And Annex has an entire in-house team that works together so you can make informed decisions when those life events come up. Click Get Started at AnnexWealth.com. That's AnnexWealth.com. Hit the Click Started button to get going.
We'll see what Rob Domofsky said about the offensive line being better, worse, or the same heading into the 2026 season. We'll talk about it with a little tackle talk with Brian Bulaga, scheduled to appear next on Wilde and Tausch.
Wild Bill goes yard.
He is a fly ball. Deep center field. Marcy's back. Trap. Ball. Boy. Boy. Baseball.
Your home of the Brewers. 100.5 ESPN.
Wilde and Tausch. Jesse and Tausch. No one less thrilled about that than Our next guest joining us on the Yingling Guest Hotline, it's Brian Bulaga for his regular Wednesday appearance on Wildy and Tausch. Brian Bulaga joins us on the Yingling Guest Hotline. Yingling, the oldest brewery in America, now officially in Wisconsin. DG Yingling & Son, Pottsville, PA. Enjoy responsibly. I did on Monday afternoon. Enjoyed a Yingling after a nice nine holes of golf on Monday with my day off. Hi, Brian Bulaga. How are you?
I'm great. How are you? How was that round of golf? Like 65, 70?
No, one of the best I ever shot in my life. It was a somewhat challenging course, and we only played nine, and I shot a 41, which for me is pretty good.
How many did you give yourself?
Two birdies.
How many putts? Two birdies in nine holes.
I had two birdies.
I don't buy it, Blue.
It could not have been that challenging of a course, though.
I had a couple of like nine irons that landed like 5 feet from the pin. It was a really nice afternoon on Monday afternoon. Part of the greatest Monday of all time. Blue, I'm sure you have golf coming up, so we'll get right into this with you. So,
before he just kind of breezes past that, you think that's probably more like a village green that he played? You know, remember the village green over
I do.
In Old Green
yeah,
Bay.
I don't know if it's a. I don't think it's a par three, but it was probably. You know,
it's
it was
not a par three course.
34.
No, it was a standard.
Okay.
I'll tell you what course it was when we're done, and you can judge for yourself. And, they don't serve ice cream, and they're not
that's
a
fair.
Partner of ours.
All
so
right,
I don't want to tell you where I was, but it was not a. I mean, it wasn't the most difficult course I've ever played, but it wasn't a challenging.
You just said it was.
Yeah,
It was a challenging course. It was not the most difficult course I've ever played. Is all I'm trying to clarify.
All right, Blue. Enough golf talk with Jesse Nelson. He can go on the tee with Gabe and Steven if you guys want to break that down.
Will do.
So Domofsky wrote a piece, and I just before we even delve into it, what position group are you dead confident is better this coming season that was the last season?
On offense, we're saying, right? That's what we're focused on?
We can go on offense, but I just want to give Blue the – where are you looking at saying, man, we're going to be a lot better this year in this position group?
Well, I mean, going into it, I think I have to look at the wide receiver room because Christian Watson comes in healthy. It's not a room that you're kind of missing pieces here and there and you're waiting to get guys back and there's no defined roles. There's clearly defined roles. I feel like this offseason going into the season, which there wasn't the last few years. I mean, it was that whole, we don't have a number one. Everybody's a number one. Everyone should feel like they're a number one. And that's just not the truth. Like, there's no such thing as everybody's a number one. It's pretty well defined that this year the number one receiver is Watson. Probably the number one target is Tucker Kraft, as I believe he always is. But that sets roles and defines roles in that room. And when guys understand where their place is in certain rooms, production, I feel like, climbs. Because then you compete against each other. You want more opportunities. Hey, you may be the number three guy. If you do really well on Sunday, hey, you may get more opportunities next Sunday. So you're able to set competition within the room. Now, if everyone's just labeled the number one, then guys end up getting PO'd when they don't get X amount of targets on Sunday because, well, coach said we were all number one, so why am I not getting the targets? Now that's not the case. Guys understand their roles, and I think going into the season, the expectation for each guy should be very clear, and to me, I'm pretty confident and excited in that room.
So what would you say would be the expectations? Because there's no doubt Watson is going to be as the one. I think Jaden Reed, they paid him as like a two or three. They drafted Matthew Golden. I was just talking with Jesse about the Romeo Doubs, 55 catches, 700 yards, six touchdowns. Matthew Golden, if this offense is going to be better and more consistent, what do you need to see from Matthew Golden to make that happen?
Yeah, I mean, I kind of like – I don't know if he'll get those types of numbers, especially with – I feel like Reed kind of being that number two guy, so to speak, right? Like, I don't know if he'll get the Doubs numbers, but I think if he's somewhere in that vicinity, and I think more so from a reception standpoint than a yardage standpoint, because I think – and I was listening to you before you got on talking about what Tucker does and what Golden can do for Watson and what he does for those guys. I think if you get the ball to Golden Moore underneath and allow him to create and open up space and allow those safeties to come forward a little bit, that's when you start getting over the middle with Watson and guys like that. So I think getting the ball early to Golden in space early, like getting the ball out of your hands, getting it to him, allowing him to create underneath, making safeties and corners bite up on him early in the season and seeing that on tape, I think that's going to be a big role for him because he is so explosive. We saw it in the Chicago game, just simple throws out to him and what he was able to do with it. I think if that's something that can be replicated early on in the season, that's going to open up a lot of things. But I certainly expect him to see the end zone more often this season, for sure. I think that's something that we can look forward to. I mean, I don't know everything he said in his interview about what he didn't do in his first year and this and that. I don't know all the ins and outs about it. But with that knowledge, learning what went wrong in year one and taking that to year two, I think you can see a more mature player, more experienced and more confident player, which I think then leads to those touchdowns and more receptions. And again, the yards, right? He's going to have to create those, in my opinion. I think that's going to be the role he's going to be given, where he has to get that yak, as the coaches used to call it, because I think the big chunk plays are coming from Tucker and Watson. That's where I believe the huge chunk plays come from, is those two guys.
Yeah, and I just look at it. If you're a defensive coordinator, you're going to say, we can't let Watson beat us over the top, and we have to have a plan for Tucker Kraft. That is going to be very advantageous for Matthew Golden. And I just want to make sure I heard this right. You believe that Jaden Reed will be two and Matthew Golden will be kind of fighting more as the three than he would be as a two. Is that accurate?
I think to start the season, yes. I think to start out the season, I think that's the way it's probably going to look. You don't pay Reed if you're not going to give him certain opportunities, right? And this goes into defining roles, and we all know what defines roles, and that's money. Let's be real. I get Golden was a first-round pick and all that. Like, that is what it is, but money defines roles, and obviously Watson got his money, Reed got his money, so you kind of look at the pecking order, 1-2, and then Golden will, I think, start the season probably as that number three. But I think he's going to earn opportunities as this thing goes and as he performs. Like, if he just carries on from what he did against Chicago, those opportunities are going to jump and just continue. He's going to get more and more and get more advantageous looks and things like that. So, yeah, I think 1-2-3 like that is going to be the way it starts out. And how it finishes, I have no idea, right? Like, that's up to those guys in that room and how they perform and what they take advantage of when the ball comes their way.
Tausch and I are in agreement that we think at some point the conversation needs to, based on his performance, alter to be when Matthew Golden can take over as a number one wide receiver. You don't draft him in the first round and have the expectations for him in this offense without him becoming a number one at some point. Do you think it's more likely that that conversation takes place during this season, sometime after this season, or never?
I mean, it's going to happen eventually. I don't, as long as Christian Watson is healthy, I don't see it happening this season. I probably don't see it happening next season either, with Christian Watson being the one and being healthy and being the guy. Do I think he will be what we kind of saw from a Jordy Devontae type dynamic? I'm not saying they're the same players or anything like that. I'm not going there. But do we see that type of dynamic in Golden's third year potentially, where you start to see that guy get more opportunities that align with the one? But I don't think this season that's probably going to happen, as long as Christian Watson is healthy. Because I think if Christian Watson stays healthy, and you saw what he was able to do last year, even coming back from an ACL, and he stays on that trajectory, I mean, it's going to be hard to tell him, hey, you're going to get less opportunities, even though you're playing this way. So I don't see that happening this season. And then next season, I mean, again, we still talk about it. Money talks, man. He's still the highest paid cat in the room, and you're going to want that guy that you paid, that you think is your biggest playmaker, right? He's your product. He's your guy. You're going to want him to get the opportunities, and you want that investment to pay off. So probably don't see it next year either, but I think you see a different dynamic within the room next year if Golden performs the way we all think he could and should this season, right? Like, I really do. I mean, I think we all expect him to be a high performer and to do a lot of great things, but you still have to do it. It still has to get done to then get those opportunities given.
Interesting stuff. Brian Bulaga on the Yingling guest hotline. I want to make sure we save enough time to dive into the offensive line portion of the conversation here for Rob Domofsky's Better, Worse, or the Same article at ESPN.com. So we're going to take a break. We'll get into that coming up next. First, Tausch, speaking of getting healthy, you got to tell us about your experience with MoMA.
I do indeed. In my knee, it was really a trouble spot. Obviously, I had a lot of injuries with it, blown it out a couple times, and I've been dealing with a lot of pain. So I decided to partner up with our friends at MoMA, the Midwest Orthopedic and Musculoskeletal Alliance. MoMA brings together trusted local providers like OIW, SMOC, and Innovative Pain, and it makes it easier to find the right specialist and the right treatment for you. And I'm telling you, it's overwhelming sometimes. You have a little pain, and you're just like, I don't want to have to go through the whole process of setting an appointment and driving over a huge building. Standalone stuff. What I love about this, you can get care in any of their offices, surgery center, smart scan, MOSH. I've been going to OrthoLaser. You pull up, boom, park in the spot, walk in, and I'm done in 20 minutes. Their experienced team helps focus getting you feeling better and back to living your life. That's what has happened to me. I hope you guys look at it as well. Call or walk in today or learn more at MOMAMKE.com. That's MOMAMKE.
Might be the boldest analysis from Rob Domofsky. Better, worse, or the same, the Packers' offensive line. We'll talk about it with Brian Bulaga next on Wilde and Tausch.
Are people sleeping on Jordan Love?
I am puzzled by the omission of Jordan Love. He just looks like a top 10 quarterback to me, the kind that lifts up everyone around him.
You're listening to 100.5 ESPN, the ESPN Wisconsin app, and ESPN Madison on YouTube.
Jesse and Tausch on Wilde and Tausch, continuing with Brian Bulaga joining us on the Yingling guest hotline. Yingling, now officially in Wisconsin, family owned and operated for six generations. DG Yingling and Son, Pottsville, PA. Enjoy responsibly. Rob Domofsky at ESPN.com. Better, worse, or the same, reviewing the Packers offense by position group. He did say the quarterback room is worse because of the loss of Malik Willis and the addition of Tyrod Taylor. We've talked pretty extensively over the last few segments in this 9 o'clock hour about the wide receivers. While Brian Bulaga's here, of course, we need to get into the offensive line tackle talk portion of the program. Rob Domofsky says that the Green Bay Packers offensive line is better heading into the 2026 season than it was last year.
So, Brian, why do you think Rob would say that? Is it just because he believes that Jordan Morgan's going to be a heck of a lot better than Shido?
My guess is that he believes that, and he believes that Sean Ryan is a better center than Elton. That could be my only takeaway from it, right? Like, that could be the only two options, because everything else is pretty much the same. We're starting season with, I get, the same right guard, or we
maybe
think at Felton, but
maybe.
But we saw him last year, so obviously Rob must really like what he sees in Felton. But I think it's the center and the left tackle position that he's bullish on.
Rob concludes his blurb on the offensive line by writing, and I quote, "If this group can stay healthy and build chemistry throughout the season, it could be an asset instead of a hindrance."
Would you agree that last year was a hindrance, Blue?
Yeah, especially towards the end of the season. They were not playing good football at all. Like, it was some of their worst football that they played was towards the end of last season, unfortunately for them. And then it was capped off with the second half against the Bears in the playoffs. Like, that was probably the worst that they looked. I guess my thing is, he talks about building chemistry, and if we're already in, we're not even in training camp yet, and LaFleur's talking about how much he likes the new rookie, it's hard to build chemistry if you start the season and you're rotating and doing things like that. So I'm hoping in training camp, a clear winner is made in that offensive line room at right guard. I hope there is a clear winner and there is no back and forth throughout the season rotating guys in and out, because that doesn't build chemistry. Everyone knows that doesn't build chemistry, or at least people that played knows that doesn't build chemistry. Having the same five guys, obviously everyone stays healthy, the same five guys go out there week in, week out. They practice, take all the reps together week in and week out. That's how you build chemistry. You don't build chemistry rotating people every two series and say that's keeping guys on their toes, because it doesn't. It doesn't do that. It actually has the opposite effect.
So, Blue, do you think, to me, we don't know left tackle. There's an unknown. I think you and I both believe that Jordan Morgan has the skill set to be a good left tackle, but he's got to go do it. Sean Ryan, to me, is the guy that I think is going to take a jump and be a lot better than what he was last year. And I feel very confident. I think he's a tough kid. He was put through it, and anytime you want to see resiliency, he's shown it. Sean Ryan has shown resiliency. The fact that the Packers continued to try and find someone else. They didn't want to pay him $11 or $12 million to be center. That was not their plan. And Sean Ryan showed enough that they let him. Now he's going to take ownership of that space. But outside of that, where do you feel like do you feel better about Aaron Banks this year than last year? He's a year older.
Yeah. I mean, I feel very similar if he stays healthy, right? I thought he was okay towards the end of the season when he got healthy. I thought he did some good things, and I think if he stays healthy, you kind of get that same play. Now, what is that super high level? Unfortunately, it wasn't last year, but it's good enough. Right, if he stays healthy and he's able to just be consistent enough and do that, maybe he does raise his level of play because he's healthier and he performs at a higher level. But if you're saying things are just better because he's another year in the system and things like that, I mean, that's taking a swing.
It's so gotta be health, right? I mean, the only way he's gonna be a lot better is if he's healthier. All right. I mean,
that's it. That's
it. Do you feel confident about that?
I don't know, because he's already had a small issue with OTAs from what they said.
Yeah,
right?
Blue, here's the question I have, because there is no doubt they like the young guy. They are talking him up, and I know minicamp ain't what minicamp used to be, but they're going to give him a shot. Is it crazy to think that I would bet that Banks, you'll probably miss some time, get some veteran days. Is it crazy to think that this young fella, because Belton, I think we all are hoping Belton is going to jump back in and be a physical guard. Is it crazy to think that maybe Burton could compete at that left guard spot, or is the money and everything else just there's no way that's happening?
I don't think there's any way it's going to happen with the money that Banks is getting made. Or making, so or and has made already, right? Like I don't see that happening unless Banks gets nicked up and misses time, and the kid comes in and plays amazing.
We've seen this movie before, where young players will jump in and they get an opportunity. They're like, this kid is working his tail off. He's playing good football. I agree. They're not. Banks is going to be the guard if he's healthy, but Banks missed a lot of camp. He missed a lot of time last year. He takes days as far as veteran, and he's getting older. So I guess the question is going to be is if Burton is really, really good and they know that they need to switch some things up, it's going to have to be Belton, and then Belton just goes out and plays tackle? Is that kind of what you're thinking?
if that's the move that gets made, if they think Burton's that good, and it's like we can't keep him off the field, and Banksy's healthy, you're saying as well? Like Banks is
healthy?
Yeah,
Banks is he's healthy, but he's going to give opportunities, because I would bet on vet off days and days that they're going to give guys some time, and Banks is going to be one of those guys, I would bet that they're going to give this guy a shot at left guard.
Oh, yeah, for sure. For sure. And I think if he takes his opportunities in camp and he performs well, then I think where he'll end up competing the hardest at is right guard with Belton. And if he beats out Belton, then Belton's going to be a swing tackle unless something else happens, right? Like, I don't see Banks getting ousted at that position when they've committed the money that they've committed to him the first 2 years of his contract, right? Like, if they were going to make a move on that contract, they would have done it. So that's the organization saying we're sticking with him for at least this year as well. So while Burton may get his opportunities when Banksy does take vet days and things like that or whatever it may be in their rotations, I don't see him beating him out, if that makes sense.
It does.
I would see it happening more at the right guard position than anywhere.
So I agree. I think that Banks, obviously they've made a huge financial commitment probably for the next 2 years for him being the left guard. So why is this group going to be better? Is it strictly, Sean Ryan, and is it – Rob said it. I am skeptical. I think you need to see it. But why do you think this group has the potential to be better, or can it be much better than what we saw, especially at the back end of last season?
Well, I hope they're much better than what we saw at the back end of last season. Like, I'm hoping it's much better than that, because it needs to be much better than that. It just can't be a little bit better than that, because a little bit better than that is still not very good. We'll just put it that way. So, like, they need to be much better than what they were at the back half of last season. Why they can be? Because I like you said, I think Sean Ryan's going to improve a lot. I think Sean Ryan's going to play at a pretty good level this year. And I guess why as well is because that means the Jordan Morgan move hit, and he's playing at a really nice level at left tackle, and he's handling the responsibility and the pressure of that. So to me, that's how they are better than last year. I mean, obviously staying healthy too. Like, that's a big thing, keeping Zach Tom as healthy as possible and hoping he makes it through every game and he's not aggravated by something in that knee or whatever it may be. So to me, that's how you are better than last year. And whether that plays out, I'm kind of in the same boat as you. I need to see it, right? Like, I need to see the group perform better than just saying it's going to happen, because there's things to be optimistic about, right? Like, you could be optimistic that the Jordan Morgan move is going to pan out, like, and that Belton is taking a step from year one to year two, and Banksy's going to stay healthy, and Zach Tom's going to return to the same form that we're used to seeing him playing at. Yeah, like, those are all things that you can be really optimistic about, but, like, that needs to happen, and that's where I'm holding judgment for this group.
A lot of question marks. There's a lot. I mean, if we're just like receiver, I feel good. That's why we've talked about it. It's not just because we're both old offensive linemen. This is going to be the key to the season, is whether or not this group gets better. And there are a lot of question marks about how that's going to go. This you could sit there and be pie in the sky. Well, Jordan Morgan's going to play at an all-pro level. Zach Tom's going to be fully healthy and ready to roll. Aaron Banks is going to be this guy. If that was the case, we would have. I'm more nervous about it than I'd like to be.
Can I ask? Yeah. Can I ask what might be a stupid question for someone who didn't play on the offensive line? So, if there's questions about all,
when someone asks, can I ask a question? And they're a host of a show. Is that a stupid question in its own right?
Probably.
Okay.
Yeah, it is.
Okay, so there's five spots on the offensive
line.
Can
I answer a question? Can I analyze?
I just ask the question? And then
maybe.
You can tell me if it's dumb and we can move on.
Blue, what do you think of Jesse's shirt? Is going to be my first question to you. It's very loud. Very bull of suit.
It is.
Yeah.
It is. There's a lot going on there.
It's a conversation starter. All right. five spots on the offensive line. We've talked extensively all offseason long about how there's really question marks at all five of them. How many of them need to perform well for you to say that the group is better this year? Is it simple, like, if three of them are better than expected, then they're going to be just fine? Like, that's the simple math. Or is it four of the five need to hit? Or do all five need to hit? Like, if there's one weakness, does the whole thing go to poop?
I'll ask Brian this. Of everybody that we saw, can any of those guys play at the same level that they did last year and you feel good about it?
No.
That's the problem. That's what makes me concerned.
So it's really all five, you're saying?
Yeah, they all need to raise their level. They all need to raise their level. And that's, and let's be real. I mean,
how often, Blue, I was just going to say this. How often is that the case? Because typically what you'll have is you got guys. I know Brian Bulaga's up when he's healthy. I know what I'm going to get. I know David Bakhtiari. I know City. And now those are some really good offensive linemen. But just you don't know. And having a bunch of unknown at this point is got to be what probably keeps people up over there. Is like, how is this going to go? I don't know. Because they don't know. And very rarely do you see where – you're going to have some surprises in a good way, and you're going to have some surprises in a bad way, but there is not the, I know what I'm getting when I see Banks doing this, and I know what I'm getting when I, and I don't know if we have that, especially when you factor injury into it, Brian.
Yeah, I mean, I think the only one you know is if Zach Tom is healthy, what you're going to get out of Zach Tom, right? And that's one piece of the pie.
If he's healthy.
Yes, and like, and the thing is, like, I've been on good offensive lines. You've been on good offensive lines. Like, everyone needs to pull their weight. If someone doesn't pull their weight, the whole thing looks like crap. And that's just the way it works with, unfortunately, for offensive lines. If every guy's pulling their weight and doing what they need to do, the thing looks really well oiled. The offense ticks, and it's smooth. If you got two guys not performing and screwing things up and missing assignments, that's making everyone look a certain way, right? And it affects the offense majorly. We'll just say that. Like, it does a lot of damage to an offense when two guys on the offensive line aren't doing what they need to do. So you look what happens when one guy gets beat. Quarterback gets pressured, gets sacked, plays blown. Like, that's one guy, right? So say there's two guys or three guys not holding a certain standard, it's just not going to look the way it needs to look. So, like, to me, yeah, it's every guy needs to raise their level and make sure that this thing's going in the right direction.
So you're telling me if Sean Ryan and Banks and everybody shows significant improvement from the end of last season to camp and the start of the season, but Jordan Morgan is not clearly better than he was last year, this
you
thing
can make
is
some
still
adjustments if it's one guy that's struggling in a pass pro situation. You can make some adjustments, but you can't live that way.
That's a lot of pressure, and that makes me nervous.
There's a lot of pressure on Jordan.
If
I'm being honest, that's Jordan Morgan is not the guy that I would be most concerned about. I actually think Sean Ryan is in a spot where I feel right now Zach Tom is the best player on this group. When he's healthy, we've seen him. He is a really good offensive tackle. He had a patella injury. That's not – oh, and I don't even really know. I would love to hear more. I'm going to have to call our friends at MoMA to get a better understanding of what – because you have a partially torn patella. I didn't know. Does that scar back in? I don't even know how – I know an MCL scars. I know an ACL doesn't. So that is the part of this. I don't know when he's going to be practicing. That's kind of all been, I don't want to say swept under, but I don't know a ton about it. And that's where – because I'm with Blue. I mean, if Zach Tom's healthy, boom. No, that's where I feel really good. And I do feel really good about Sean Ryan. Everywhere else, we got to see it. I think Sean Ryan's going to be a really good he's going to be a very serviceable to really good center in this league. And if that's the case, everybody else's job is going to be a lot easier.
Brian,
yep.
Brian,
I agree.
Last thoughts. This will be the last thing you say about the Green Bay Packers before you connect with us next week when training camp kicks off in Green Bay. Any thoughts, your closing thoughts on the Green Bay Packers offseason, Brian Bulaga?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a very talented team. There's a lot of great football players on the team. It's just how do some of these spots, these worry spots, come together in training camp. You're looking in the secondary. You're looking up front offensive line-wise. You're looking at your pass rushers till Micah gets back. Potentially your depth at running back. Like, you're looking at these little worry spots, and you're going, how is that going to develop in training camp, and who's going to emerge in these spots to pick up slack where it's needed or elevate their play and become someone that people talk about week in, week out, right? Like, that to me is what I'm looking for during training camp, is in these little worried positions, who emerges and who makes a name for themselves and becomes key contributors. Because we all know what happens in an NFL season. Guys get hurt. Things happen. Who has to pick up the slack, right? And this is the time where guys earn that opportunity. And normally it's pretty clear to see in camp the guys that are making a name for themselves. So that's really it before camp starts for me is it's a roster full of really good football players, but there are spots that are concerning, and it's how does that get cleaned up during training camp and get this thing looking the way it should by week one.
Question marks indeed as we head into training camp next week. Brian Bulaga, thank you so much for the time as always. We appreciate you, pal.
All right, guys, take it easy.
I guess I'll have to tell him more about my golf game next time we catch up
with
Brian Bulaga.
Yeah, I'm sure he's super intrigued to hear more.
You can tell us more about UW Credit Union.
I'm a member. There's a lot of great folks over at UW Credit Union for every stage of life. UW Credit Union is here for every you, proudly serving Wisconsin for over 90 years. They're going to help you reach your financial goals. Members, they get their money up to 2 days sooner with early payday. And you know what else? They have that great mobile app. It's a simple way to check accounts, make transfers, and more. It is a smart play from the pocket. Join today at uwcu.org. Insured by NCUA. Terms and conditions do apply.
A lot to take away from that conversation with Brian Bulaga. We'll recap it in 2 minutes when we start the official 10 o'clock hour of Wilde and Tausch. Stick around.
Don't go anywhere. Another hour of Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin, is coming up next on ESPN Wisconsin and the ESPN Wisconsin app.